With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Whack Brackets, the podcast most trusted by internet-educated doctors to select alternative medication since 2020. I'm your host, Mike, and I'm really excited to have a couple guys on today because I really enjoy their podcast, and they've seemingly been training their entire life, or at least since they've been doing their podcast, to be on this show, and they've been doing similar things better than me for longer than I have, so I almost feel like, you know, I can look up to you guys as pillars of the podcasting goofball society because I really enjoy your podcast, but I will let you guys introduce it. I don't want to ruin the suspense and also don't want to shit all over what you do and say it wrong, but we've got Dave and Michael from the Center Cut podcast, and I will let you guys go. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Thanks for that introduction. I'm a pillar. That's the first time I've ever been called a pillar in my life, and I like it.
You are a beacon.
Even better.
I feel like I would like to be a column, please.
You're more of a row.
Yeah.
Excel spreadsheet humor for all the nerds out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're happy to be on. Like you said, we are goofballs, so we got that down pat. Normally, we'll start the show, and I will say, Dave, what do we do here? So, Dave, what do we do at the Center Cut?
Yeah, so at the Center Cut, what we do is we listen to or watch the first 15 minutes and the last 15 minutes, or essentially the beginning and end of some kind of entertainment, whether that's TV, movie, something like that. And then we chat about what we missed in the middle and what we think would have happened in the middle if we would have seen it.
But usually chaos ensues.
Well, it's pretty interesting chaos. If anyone's out there, the one that I've really enjoyed was the Human Centipede episode, and especially their description about location of said person within Centipede.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, actually. I think I would argue with that.
Okay.
Not that I'm looking to start an argument. If I recall, I think you guys said the worst place to... Nah, I guess the worst place to be would be in the
middle. It is.
I was thinking the guy at the end might get it because he gets everything, but then he also gets to purge.
Exactly. That's so the argument. He gets to purge.
Yeah.
Also, the way we looked at it, too, is that the person in the end is going to die fastest, so you're just done with, you know, the situation that you're
done with said
in.
Centipede situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the best place to be, regardless. Even the first guy isn't in a good situation. He's in the best situation, but not a good situation.
Correct.
So what I'm going to do, if one of you guys, or if you both want to, I'm going to give you an opportunity to explain to our audience what a whack bracket is and how one might work.
Sure. So from what I gather, listening to the episodes, a whack bracket is basically March Madness minus the March, all the madness. You're basically pitting two things in each category against each other, but you're not just pitting them, hey, which one's better? There's some weird question that you have to answer, which one of these, like, for instance, a pinata or a bicycle, which one would you rather shove up your ass? Something like that. So, and, you know, that...
I'm team pinata on that, by the way.
Yeah, I probably am pinata as well. I guess that's an easy one I pitched there, but no. So then, you know, whatever one wins moves on, and until you get to the final one, and hilarity ensues along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
If it was only a specific piece of a bicycle, I feel like the bicycle could be better.
It depends on said piece.
True.
I think handlebar would be a bad one. If you could get away with like the rubber grip on the handle, the entire handlebar, bad. The rubber handle, I think I've seen similar things on sex toy websites. So I think I could get that one done.
I would be more worried about, you know, the sandpaper-like quality of the outside of a pinata. That wouldn't be pleasant.
it's I guess it depends.
And is the pinata filled or is it empty? Because that matters too.
Yeah, it's true. If I'm picking candy out of my ass for another week, I'm really not going to be happy about it.
Oh, man. That's not going to be a good situation. Let's put it this way. The good news is this one isn't on the current podcast. Though, if you guys want to do a future podcast, I will make sure to work a bicycle and a pinata and that question in, and maybe we could start a whack bragging with that question.
Yeah, if you think we're experts in movies and TV, what we're really experts in.
Well, and If I recall, one of you guys did a rap when you were younger that ended up on your podcast about shoving something
cucumbers and hammer handles. Yeah.
Hammer handles. Mm-hmm. Hammer handles was what I remembered. That was the one that got me.
Cucumbers and hammer handles.
The cucumber I've heard before, but hammer handles?
There's not as much as a cucumber. It's more solid.
I thought I understood the song up until the word hammer handle came in, and that took a dark direction. And then I had to give up on the song. No offense, but
yeah, you have to work up to the hammer handle. It's not something you can start with.
Yeah, I'm sure Tracy Lords would know something about that. Regardless of that, I'm going to actually move on to the Whack Brackets podcast. And no pinatas or bicycles will be hurt in this episode. But what we will be whack bracketing on is television show characters. First question, if you guys are ready.
Ready.
Let's do it.
Most likely to drink beer through a straw. Would it be Abed from Community or Michael Scott from The Office?
Good question. So I have more experience with Community. I think Michael has more experience with The Office. But on this one, it would really be a question of the situation, mm-hmm. right? The way I see it is that Abed is more likely to drink beer through a straw unprompted because he doesn't drink a lot. Okay. And he doesn't really fall within social norms. So he kind of just does whatever feels right to him. And if that felt right to him, that would be what he does. Whereas on the other end of the spectrum, I think Michael Scott only does weird stuff like that if he's prompted to do it by the environment that he's in. So if everyone around him is drinking beer from a straw, then he would also drink beer from a straw to fit within that category. But is that ever going to happen? Probably.
So I have an important question, actually. What type of straw are we talking? Like plastic? Paper? Because we can all agree that paper straws are the worst, right?
Yeah, paper straws. I know I'm all team environment. But I think I would rather live in a burning hellhole of 170 degrees than have to drink out of paper straws the rest of my life.
It's the worst. After like 5 seconds of being in whatever liquid it's in, it's like you're blowing an oak tree or like you're licking an old library book. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Oh, geez.
But the turtles, Michael, the turtles.
Anyway.
Think of the old librarian ladies. They'd love that shit.
All right. Well, let's say for the sake of the argument, it's a plastic straw.
Okay.
I think it would be Michael Scott. The reason is there's actually a myth behind drinking beer from a straw. The belief is that you'll get drunk faster, because it creates a vacuum when you're sucking it up, gets into your bloodstream faster, and also like the upper palate in your mouth is supposedly gets into your blood faster. However, it is not scientifically proven whatsoever. Because of that, I think that Abed, he would know that it's not scientifically proven and wouldn't do something that stupid. Michael Scott would get forwarded an email about how it makes you get drunk faster, and he would totally do it. And it would be out of like a large neon orange bendy straw, and he'd totally be drinking Bud Light, because there's no doubt in my mind that as soon as those Dilly Dilly commercials came out, he would be around the office. Dilly Dilly! That is Michael Scott all the way.
That definitely sounds like something that Cat would do. Now, the one thing I was thinking particularly of Michael Scott, and you knowing The Office, probably the expert of The Office on this show, I've seen a lot of episodes in the background, particularly because my kids enjoy watching it. So I picked up enough to know his nuances, I think, or at least the majority of them. The one thing I think about Michael Scott would be I could see him going to a manager meeting, something where they're teaching manager training and he's trying to learn how to be a good manager. And they really think the guy's a schlep, but he doesn't know that. So they go out to do their nightly drink off, as manager meetings tend to lead to. And so all the people there tell him that this is kind of what managers do because it shows sophistication. So then Michael Scott starts doing that when he leaves. And then he continues doing it afterwards because he's convinced that that is what people of his level in a company should do.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah, I think you've swayed me with that argument. Yeah. I think Michael Scott would definitely be someone who would fall for something like that and continue to believe it for the
right.
rest of his life.
Yeah, it's not like the pantsuit situation, which they actually talked him out of the fact he was wearing a pantsuit. If you've not seen that episode, it's a great episode. I think they finally did talk him out of it, but only after he admitted he'd been shopping in a discount bin. And then what was the name of it? Mystery, I think, was the name of it. Miss Turi was the
brand. I think you're right.
So, yeah. Long story short is that I believe if Michael were told that by someone in the office, he could be persuaded. But if he were told by upper management from a larger company or a training session, he would definitely continue doing it.
100%. Lock it in.
All right, lock it in. So we are going to pull the whack handle. Yeah, I do that some, but not usually on a podcast. So we're going to lock it in with the whack handle. And we're going to say that Michael Scott, most likely to drink beer through a straw. Second question, more likely to get punched at a party. Would that be Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, or would that be Al Swearengen from Deadwood?
Great question. This is the one that I've had the most trouble thinking through. So I guess another important question here, are we transporting Al to current day for a party, or is he going to be at a party in the 1800s?
I will let you decide. I think Al's personality is probably going to rub people the wrong way regardless. If it's a party of people he doesn't know, then I don't think it matters too much if it's in the 1800s or the 2000s, because he's definitely such a larger-than-life personality in whatever room he's in. And plus, he has run a den of ill repute for quite a while, so he obviously has his opinions about women especially, which I guess would even lend more to if it's 2020 versus the 1800s.
That's true.
So I will let you decide on your own which party you would like for Al to attend.
Okay. So I think you're right that no matter what, he's still going to have a hard time not getting punched. It's just in the 1800s, Al likes to call ethnic groups by all the names you're not supposed to call them. So
he does.
In the 1800s, it maybe wouldn't have been as a punchable offense as it would be now.
It's true.
But I mean, both of them, both Guilfoyle and Al, they're both jerks. Guilfoyle is actually probably less socially aware, so I can see that being a reason that he could be punched. But at the end of the day, he's a nerd. You can't punch a nerd. It's a rule somewhere. That's why they created superheroes, to punch for them. And he has glasses. You can't punch glasses. That's reckless.
I think that's a lot more wedgies and swirlies than actual punches.
Yeah.
So if the question were a wedgie or a swirly, then possibly Guilfoyle. But what do you think, Dave? You have any opinions on the Guilfoyle here?
So, Michael, did you really nail down what era Al would be in?
Let's put him now. We'll put him now.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say, you know, Al was a dick, but he was also a dick in a time where dickery was kind of the norm. Kind of everyone were jerks back then. If you bring him to present, I feel like Guilfoyle is the type of douche that would make you want to punch him in the face, just because he really, I feel like with all of his, for lack of a better word, disses and things like that towards people, cut to the root of people, more so than Al, who is just being an overall dick. But when you take into consideration if Al was in the present and all the insensitivity in the world today, I feel like Al is a good choice.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Al as well, because Al is definitely surly and hard-headed. He may be more self-confident than Guilfoyle, if that's even possible.
I'd agree.
They're both very self-confident, very self-centered characters. I'm still sticking with Al, mind you. If I recall, I only recall Al getting in an actual fist fight once in the show with Seth
That
Bullock.
Is correct, yes. I have seen him be punched by Bullock, and Guilfoyle has not been punched.
Right. So yeah, definitely. Now, if you put Bullock at the same party with Al in the 2020s, They both might get punched, but regardless, Bullock, yeah, that's a different story. But yeah, I do believe that. I think I'm going to go with Al here as well. He's just such a cocksucker,
Swidgen,
cocksucker. So yeah, I think this cocksucker is going to have to advance.
I agree. Lock it in.
Yep.
So yeah, no more pulling of the whack handle, but huzzah!
All right.
Al Swearengen will advance to round two of Whack Brackets versus Michael Scott. But before we get there, we still have more of round one, with this round one question being, more likely to be a successful politician, Tony Soprano or Saul Goodman?
Yeah, so I'm thinking Tony on this. The reason I think that is because Tony, to me, is someone who surrounds himself with people who help him achieve his goals, whereas Saul's kind of a more of a one-man show. And I think in the current political climate and the way politics works these days, you have to be able to surround yourself with people who are going to be able to help you achieve your goals in order to succeed.
So that's a good argument, Dave. But you couldn't be more wrong. So Tony and Saul, they're both great negotiators. Both of them are charismatic. We know this. Tony, yes, he's a mob boss. I just think that he's going to be limited in terms of how high he can get in the politician field. Maybe he could get like a mayor or selectman. He's not going to be like a governor or the president. But here's the irrefutable argument. Saul's a lawyer. Over 55% of the U.S. presidents we've had in our history of this country have practiced law. Over 55%. 0% have been Italian Americans, which Tony is.
Really?
0%. Shit.
Didn't know that.
You can't argue statistics. Saul, easy choice. Plus, he already has a slogan. It's all good, man.
Before I tell you my choice, I'm going to give you the good and bad of both of these characters. Obviously, Tony is, no doubt, he has a charisma that people follow. You couldn't be a mob boss without getting people to follow you to some degree. I would throw out that one negative for Tony would be that he tends to be a pretty notable racist, but I'm not sure that... I think maybe in the environment today, that would be more than it was a couple of years ago. But regardless of that, I think that that would be working against him. He also, I believe, has a pretty extensive criminal record. They really haven't caught him on a lot, but they've caught him on enough. And we know Tony has killed people personally. How long can that go without somebody outing him before he gets to the next level of politics? Well, the things we know about Saul is definitely a criminal lawyer. But he tends to be more around crime, and he commits petty crime, or let me rephrase that. He commits serious crime, but he's not usually the one doing the murders. He knows about it, and usually the people that would roll over on Saul has more dirt on them than they have on Saul. So at that point, I think he would be able to bury the bodies a little better, as well as he's very influential with people. He has a silver tongue. The only problem would be with Saul is that even though he's a lawyer, and they were, what, 55% of ex-presidents?
Just over 55%, yep.
I don't think any U.S. president has ever graduated from the American Samoan Law School, I think is where he graduated from.
Accurate. Good point.
That said, he still is a lawyer, and I still think that he doesn't have as much evidence against him that you could pull out against Tony. So I do believe that Saul would be the guy most likely to advance further in politics than Tony Soprano.
Sorry, Dave, wrong again.
All right. I'm out in the cold.
This time.
It's fine.
That's all right. I've been out in the cold in a lot of these, so it happens.
You did have a good argument, though.
I'm used to being wrong when I argue with Michael, so it's fine.
So last question for the first round. More likely to plug a toilet at a party and not fess up to it. Would that be Ricky from the Trailer Park Boys or Ross from Friends?
So there's a scene in one of the later seasons of Trailer Park Boys where Ricky is installing a toilet paper holder and he ends up cutting electrical wires and a pipe starts spewing water and he tears down an entire wall. That's exactly what I picture happening. Like he would plug the toilet. He would totally try to fix it himself, but end up like flooding the entire bathroom. Here's the thing, though. I am kind of torn on whether or not he would tell on himself. If he was angry enough at the toilet situation, I could see him just walking out of the bathroom and be like, fuck it, your toilet sucks. But Ross, I, like you, Mike, am not really seeing a lot of Friends. From what I have seen, it's super overrated. So hopefully Ross plugs the toilet with the world's supply of Friends DVDs. But I don't want to learn anything more about Ross. I don't want to talk about Ross. So he's just smug looking. Okay. He would totally tell on himself. Let's just go, Ricky. Let's go, Ricky.
Ross is too egotistical to even understand that he has flaws. To Ricky, everything is someone else's fault and is not his fault. So Ricky is more likely to tell you that your toilet's plugged, but to blame it on the Sam Squanch or the something along those lines. Whereas Ross is definitely not going to tell you that he plugged your toilet and he's just going to keep it quiet like nothing ever happened.
Yeah. I know more about Ricky from the Trailer Park Boys than I do about Ross, but I do know a little bit about Ross. I think, like you said, he seems like an he is arrogant at times, but he's a smug prick. And he seems like he would definitely, if he were at the party with a girl, trying to impress the girl, I could see him simply trying to talk her into leaving immediately after the plugging toilet and then completely never fess up to it. He may fess up to it eventually. Maybe after she breaks up with him or something to that degree. I don't think he seems to hide bodies well, but I think that he would not, at least immediately. Ricky, on the other hand, this is where it gets dicey. Ricky's going to do one of several things. He'll definitely plug the toilet. I don't think he'll go through the trouble of trying to fix it. And I think what he will do is he will either come out and say one of two things, and one of them is, your toilet sucks, and you should buy a better toilet. The other being, somebody else plugged your toilet. I don't think he would pull a Ross. I think that he would immediately tell you your toilet was plugged. But who are the two chuckleheads in the first few seasons? I can't remember their names.
In Trailer Park Boys?
Yeah.
You have Julian and Bubbles, or are you talking Trevor and Corey?
Trevor and Corey. See, he would totally blame Trevor and Corey for that, though.
100%.
He would definitely say, yeah, I went in there after Trevor, and he plugged your goddamn toilet. And Trevor would be like, man, I didn't do that. And he'd be like, well, let me smell your hands or something like that. And next thing you know, it's this whole poor, you know, Trevor or Corey, they're practically interchangeable at this point.
And then he'd ask for some chips and a smokes.
That's right. So I think this is where it gets dicey. I think Ross runs. I think Ricky diverts. At this point, it's a 50-50. It's a toss-up. But for the sake of, and I hate to do this to you again, Dave, but I think for the sake of honesty, I do think it's going to be Ricky, because I think Ricky would get away with it permanently. I think Ross would have that level of, he's smug, but, and correct me if I'm wrong, he does have at least a little bit of a guilt to him, or does he just feel completely oblivious?
No, I think he does. He does have some guilt to him. I think you're absolutely correct that, you know, somewhere along the lines it would become known, or he would fess up to it because it's been eating away at him or something.
Yeah. So with that said, I do believe that they would both immediately completely get out of the situation, but I do think long term Ricky's more likely never to fess up to it.
Good logic.
All right.
Well, with that said, we're going to move to round two, but before we do, I'm going to recap. Round one saw Michael Scott beating Abed as most likely to drink beer through a straw. Al Swearengen beat Guilfoyle, most likely to get punched at a party. Tony Soprano loses, I said it out of order, loses to Saul Goodman as being the most successful politician. And finally, most likely to plug your toilet and not tell you about it, that would be Ricky from the Trailer Park Boys versus Ross from Friends. If there's no questions, I will move to round two. Do you have any takes about what we've seen happen in this first round?
I'm just happy to be right as always.
Happy to be right as always.
Of course.
Oh, well, this one will be an interesting question, because Michael Scott was the one I really wanted to see come through, because this question is open for a good debate. Michael Scott from The Office versus Al Swearengen from Deadwood. Who would make the worst spouse?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ooh, that's a tough one. The way I look at it, and this is what makes it tough in my mind, is that Michael Scott would be a bad husband without realizing that he's a bad husband.
Exactly.
Al would be a bad husband full well knowing that he's a bad husband. So if I were to take it from there, when you're asking what makes a bad spouse, someone that is purposefully being a bad spouse rather than accidentally being a bad spouse would be worse to me. So I would say Al on this one.
So I don't know what you're talking about. I would marry Michael Scott. The only bad thing about him is that he just needs attention. But other than that, he's going to be the most devoted husband you'd ever have. Unless we're talking date Mike, but that was just one episode. Michael Scott, I would marry him. Al is the worst. Out of all the characters we've talked about, he would make the worst husband. He is a pimp, and not in like the hip hop sense. He's a literal pimp. And plus, he lived in the 1800s. Like, he smells like horse shit, and he can't possibly wash his genitals properly. Do you want to be married to that? I don't want to be married to that.
I don't know. Ask your wife.
Oh, shit. Dave coming in hard.
Wow.
And you set yourself up for it perfectly.
Yeah,
you just
really
threw
did.
The volleyball up and he came down.
I even paused for a second like, oh, that was just too easy.
You spiked it right in my face.
Yeah.
But I'm still right.
Okay, so we have...
So the answer is Al for both of us.
Oh, Al for both of you. Okay, you know what? Then my answer really doesn't matter. But I will at least give you the reason that I would choose one or the other, and I will answer the question. But I started thinking about it after the fact. I've seen episodes of The Office where Michael, at least on some weird dates, he was doing some weird things. I know when he was set up on a blind date, next thing he came in and acted really weird about it. There was a time when he had a dinner party, and he kept acting, I think, like just a complete dick. And so I do know, and I agree with the fact that Michael Scott would not even know he was a bad husband. The only hurdle with Al would be that he would have to find someone to marry him. Because, as you said, he does deal in prostitutes. But that said, I think whoever marries Al is going to know what they're getting. I think they've gone in eyes wide open, knowing they're probably going to get the shit kicked out of them, knowing they're probably going to get pimped out. They're just going in saying, I'm going to lean into this shit. Where I do think Michael would have some problems in relationships. And even though I don't think that my answer changes the result here, I think I am going to stand up with Michael Scott being the worst. And not that he would be, if this was an arranged marriage and you had to marry either Michael Scott or Al Swearengen and said arranged marriage, I 100% agree that Al would be a worse spouse. So with that said, I do think whoever marries Al knows exactly what they're getting. And even though it might be a shitty relationship, they knew what they were getting into, and they're more likely to be satisfied with it than the Michael Scott never being satisfied with whatever's going on in his life. So I would say Michael Scott, but I'm outvoted Al to Al anyway.
Can't believe you think he would be a bad husband. Ugh.
Yeah.
Smirching Michael Scott's name.
Okay.
I think he does a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, but so the argument, yeah, he would be, you know, a devoted husband and he's a nice guy, but it would get really annoying really fast that he basically can't do anything right ever. That would drive me bananas.
As well as Michael does seem to always have this, he has this lack of confidence in a lot of what he does. He's like super confident, but he acts super confident out of lack of confidence, which women don't find very attractive at all. So at some point, I think it would get annoying really fast if your man wouldn't stand up for you, or if he was always agreeing with his buddy because he knew that he could come home with you later and agree with you later and kind of flip both sides of the coin. Al would be like, set your ass over there, bitch. I got whores to pimp. So like I said, you know what you're getting with Al. That's the only reason I would go with Michael Scott here. But I do agree, if you don't like the shit getting beat out of you or prostitution going on all around you, then Al's definitely the worst. So I think we all agree now. I'm still 50-50. I took Michael Scott simply because I knew that Al was going to win anyway. I'm glad that you guys didn't split that argument because it would have been tough for me to break that. So I'm glad I could wimp out on that. So now we'll move on to the last question of round two. And this one will be a good one too. Who would push hardest for an establishment to accept an expired coupon? Would it be Saul Goodman or would it be Ricky?
So I could see both of them doing it. Both of them would try to do this. I think Saul would do it more for the principle of it, like just to prove that he could. And I could see him like doctoring the date on the coupon to try to pass it that way. Ricky, though, Ricky would do it on accident or on purpose. That's the genius of Ricky. Can you picture him trying to save 40 cents on a jar of mayonnaise and just like knocking shit off shelves just to get that 40 cents?
No doubt.
I could picture him doing it if he ever actually shopped on his own instead of sending Trevor and Corey to do it for him.
There's some truth to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think either one of them in my book, this is a very even argument. You could make an argument for Ricky, like you said, out of ignorance or out of purposefulness. He's always trying to be a bit of a shyster, but he's not smart enough to pull it off. But again, very similar to plugging the toilet situation. Even if he took the coupon up there and they said it was expired, his argument would be like, I don't care. Where Saul Goodman would tell you legally why, and he would try to get into the verbiage of the states and say this was unconstitutional and just pull a whole bunch of shenanigans over on the poor waitress, the poor convenience store lady, and probably get his way and be willing. I could definitely say I could see Saul Goodman be willing to wait it out longer and wait for the police and take it to court, whereas Ricky eventually, the police would show up and probably just lock him in the drunk tank. With that said, I could see Saul taking this a lot further. And I would say Saul is definitely a man of principle. He definitely goes to court for what he believes in, be it whether it is shady as shit or if he honestly believes in it as a good person. So I think Saul would take this further, and I think he would never say no, and usually he wins. Because a lot of times, particularly in Better Call Saul, he will take and make it so painful for the other side to win that ultimately they give up.
That's my form of arguing. It works.
Mm-hmm. It does work. So I'm going with Saul.
That's what it is.
So who'd you guys go with again?
I went with Ricky. It's a toss-up, though, but I just lean towards Ricky.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm leaning towards Saul for the same argument. I think Ricky would just give up after a few minutes because he forgot what he was doing or just decided it's not worth his time anymore. Or, you know, Leahy would walk in and he'd have to go running out of the store or something like that. I think Saul all day.
So I think we agree that Saul Goodman is going to advance against... Who advanced in the last round? I don't even have all my notes. This is going to be a dandy then. We've got Al Swearengen against Saul Goodman, and I could see either of them doing what this next question is. But I think I already have my opinion on who I'm going to pick, but I'm going to let you guys talk first. Who would be most likely to hoard toilet paper in a pandemic? Would it be Al Swearengen, or would it be Saul Goodman?
So... judging off of Michael's view of Al and the fact that he doesn't even know how to wash his own genitals, I don't know that toilet paper would be all that important to him.
100%. I'm actually with you, Dave. That's my argument as well. All of Deadwood, I did not see one single piece of toilet paper. Al definitely just had one shit rag that he probably got washed once a week. And, well, here's the thing, though. So Saul would do it, but not for his own anal use. It would be as like a get rich quick scheme. Like he would buy all the toilet paper just to then sell it off, kind of like what he did. There was an episode in Better Call Saul where he bought a bunch of burner phones and then sold them off. So that's what he'd do. He'd buy all the toilet paper and then sell them off. Al, he doesn't have time for paper. Plus, toilet paper was only invented and went to the Western world like 20 years before Deadwood started. So it probably didn't even make it out there.
Probably would have been real expensive too.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what I'm a little torn on, but I think I have my solution. I know Al is a proprietor, and he's a multi-businessman, and he also would probably be able to manipulate the supply chain, particularly in Deadwood. And as such, even if it were only 20 years prior, if that toilet paper came in Deadwood, I could see him looking at this as an extension of his business arm and saying that all toilet paper runs through me, and if it doesn't run through me, I'm going to break your arm. So Al would definitely be a strong arm about this whole ordeal. That said, Saul Goodman also would be likely to shyster people, but I do think Saul has more compassion for people. Saul's compassion against people tends to be because he has a reason to be against them. That's the crux of the entire crux of the Better Call Saul series, is that you see Saul eventually diverge into being a bad person, but I still think at his core, this is a situation where he wouldn't take advantage of toilet paper. He would make sure he had his toilet paper, and he might do something similar. I think with the burner phones, I think what Saul did was, I think he gave away the burner phones.
That's true.
Along with a coupon for 50% off in the parking lot or something. So I could see him using toilet paper as a promotional item, but I don't think Saul would actually hoard the toilet paper. I could see Al manipulate the supply chain and make it so no one could get toilet paper if they didn't go through him. So I'm going to go with Al Swearengen.
That's actually a good point. You may have swayed me, because not only that, I wasn't even thinking about toilet paper for different uses. Like Al could promote them as post-coital wipes for all of his all of his Johns and women. So yeah, I think you've actually swayed me to go L.
Okay.
See, the way I see it though is that manipulating the supply chain alleviates his need to hoard it. See, that would only be assuming that manipulation of the supply chain is him hoarding it. But I think that if you have the control, like, you know, if you work at Target, you don't need to hoard toilet paper because you have an opportunity to buy toilet paper before anyone else does. So you're not hoarding it because you have direct access to it.
But he's more of a Target, for instance, would be you still have options to get the toilet paper from other places. So if it's out one place, you go to another. Al would be the entire supply chain. So as any toilet paper came through, he would be one pipeline to the people. They wouldn't be able to access toilet paper from any other method. They would be using that shit rag we were talking about in the last Al might be polite enough to give them his used shit rag, but I don't think he would help people with toilet paper, and he would make sure to mark up the price on the toilet paper and ruin the entire supply chain. And really, that's what the hoarding is going on when it happens in pandemics. People need to make sure they have their supply, but they also use it as currency. So at this point, the toilet paper is currency to Al, or the ability to create more currency. So I'm still going to go with Al on that.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Al Swedgen.
Swedgen. So not surprisingly or surprisingly, I don't know. I wasn't sure that Al would get through this. I think he had some tough battles.
Yeah. I didn't peg him as the winner.
Yeah, it's tough to say. You never know how these brackets are going to turn out. But the winner of this, our fifth episode of Whack Brackets with the guys from the Center Cut, Dave and Michael, will be Al Swearingen. And for the record, what that means is if I ever put together a superstar edition of Whack Brackets with characters, Mr. Swearingen will be able to face, I think, Dwight Schrute has won. And I think also, I don't remember who else has won. I'll have to look it up. I don't keep track of that. I'll have to go back and listen to my old episodes. If you haven't listened to my old episodes, please do.
It's good shit.
More importantly, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the guys from the Center Cut, Dave and Michael over here, their podcast is better than mine, and they are at the Center Cut on Instagram. I know that. And I think at the Center Cut as well on Twitter. Is that true?
It's true. We don't really do a whole lot on Twitter, to be honest. But yes, if you wanted to find us on Twitter.
Yeah. Our Instagram's definitely where it's popping off, but the Center Cut, pretty much everywhere you can find us.
Yeah, I was team Twitter before podcast. I'm a Twitter guy, but once I started doing the podcasting, I found a lot better society of podcasters seemingly on Instagram, which is how I've ended up there. I would really push and try to get people to listen to my podcasts on Twitter, and nobody listened to anything, but now I'm really getting a lot more response. But if you want to check Whack Brackets out on the Twitters or the Instagrams or even the Facebooks, which I wouldn't recommend unless you're over 70 and like political arguments, you can check us out at Whack Brackets on any of those platforms. You can also check out my other podcast at Only Stupid Pod, and that's the Only Stupid People podcast I do with my wife. But before I close out, I want to give you guys an opportunity to pitch anything. You can pitch your podcast, which I would highly recommend. But if you want to pitch laxatives, you're welcome to do that. This is your platform. Go for it.
Dave, what do you got?
Oh, so our podcast is great, but also definitely make sure you get at least 2-ply toilet paper.
Oh, we don't even want to get started on that. If you want to hear Dave and I argue about 1-ply versus 2-ply, go check out our White Lines episode. Dave's wrong, as usual, but
nope.
You can hear us discuss.
Are you team 1-ply toilet
team
paper?
Team 1-ply, yep.
Yeah, makes no sense, right?
Yeah, the only time I use 1-ply toilet paper is if I'm somewhere and they have the toilet paper and you have no choice. And then the problem is with 1-ply toilet paper is that I just end up doubling up anyway. So I end up using it.
Yeah, I don't want to feel like I'm shitting at Home Depot when I'm at my house.
but I'm sorry. I kind of like interrupted you guys. I apologize. Anything else you want to go on?
No, check out the pod.
Check us out.
Yeah, check them out. They're a lot of fun. Hopefully they'll have me on soon.
Yeah.
And I can ruin movies. Yeah, I can ruin anything. So I'm sure I can ruin a movie
Perfect.
For you.
Yeah. Keep your ears peeled for Whack Brackets on the Center Cut.
All right. Well, this has been my pleasure. This has been a lot of fun, guys. But I will let you go. And everybody else, I'll sound off and we'll see you soon.
Have a great one.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.